The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I wouldn't be panicking over Zach Greinke. Look, he didn't have a good start. He didn't have good stuff. He didn't have command. To him, this is still spring training, and I would expect that by the time we get to this point, let's say 2 weeks from today, we'll see a lot more of what we would expect from Zach Greinke.
In football, these guys never lose their jobs, and actually, their pedigree and their reputation continues to be uplifted. You ask a lot of people, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. You realize they got busted multiple times for multiple cheating scandals. They drafted a murderer here in the Astros. It's the worst cheating scandal ever. Stealing signs?
Baseball didn't have the onions to hold everybody's feet to the fire the way they did the Astros.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
That's Craig and Jason Braddock in for Fred and A.J. on the Blitz. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PeteCreighton1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters, Aaron Raybould near the side of the glass, at the Master Controls, at Aaron is Blitzed, and Astros about 10 minutes from first pitch is Josh James going to get the start tonight. And like we said earlier, this is a huge start for Josh James because this is a guy who throws 100 miles an hour and doesn't always know where it's going and doesn't really have very good command of his other pitches. He walks a lot of guys. Doesn't give up a lot of hits, but he walks a lot of guys. Can he take the next step? Because this season, they're going to need him to take the next step because they just flat out don't have any more bodies.
Absolutely. Texans report just came over of five transactions.
No. The Texans have waived
right,
the following players that you probably have never heard of.
You're absolutely right. I think there's only one player they may have heard of.
Because he went to Baylor?
He did go to Baylor. I'm going to let you say the names.
Anthony Kukwa.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll accept it. That's a long snapper. So that and don't say we never reported on long snapper news. We just did.
Shalom Luani.
All right, then the one name you probably do recognize, the defensive end, Ira Savage Lewis. Then Nick Tiano. I'm going to go Tiano. Sounds cool.
And Alex Woodworth.
Just call your son Alex. Alex? You know he's a D.
It's not his fault.
His parents named him.
At what age do you put it on a person that if their parents gave them a trash name, do you put it on them to go change their name officially and have like a real name?
I guess you'd have to ask Muhammad Ali because his mama called him Clay, named him Clay. I'm going to still call him Clay.
Mama named him Cassius.
Cassius Clay. Cassius? Yeah. You remember when people call him Cassius Clay after he changed his name to Muhammad Ali? I'm going to still call him Cassius in the ring. Obviously, that's a funny line from Coming to America. But you remember people would actually take that funny line in real life and tell him that in the ring and get their ass mopped. He said, I'm going to make you call me Muhammad Ali.
He did that with a fighter.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
You know, what was it? Was it Liston who he did that with? No, it wasn't Liston.
Who was the
fighter that he had that said that they were going to call him Cassius?
Was it Frazier? Because I know they had three bouts. Man, if you're a youngster out there, because I know most people, what would you say, 45, 50 and older, have watched the Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope against George Foreman. Go back and watch that entire fight. I think people,
I think people got carried away with the old George Foreman that was boxing in his 50s and everything else, and they don't realize that George Foreman, go watch him warming up. Go watch him fight guys back there in his prime. He looked like one of those twist-em figures we had as kids back in the 80s. You twist the Ultimate Warrior, and he turns around and punches you like that. That's how George Foreman punched, but he did it with the ferocity that would punch through an oak tree, and Ali took those punches, and then he put on a show dodging it. It's one of the greatest fights ever. Do that as your research while you're sitting in the house. Go back and watch that, because Ali beating Foreman in that fight still mind-boggling to me.
It was Ernie Terrell.
Okay.
Ernie Terrell
beat him so bad nobody even remembers him.
He was gonna call him, you know, Cassius and Muhammad, of course, with, you know, I'll make him announce it in the center of the ring if you don't know now. You know, then he called him an Uncle Tom, and he called him a Floyd Patterson.
Dang.
Oh, he called him everything. And basically, Muhammad Ali beat this man from pillar to post for 15 rounds in a fight that was scored 148 to 137. Or 148 to 133, where Ali just... Basically, Terrell was competitive for two rounds, and then from round three on, he just took a whooping.
Sounds like Ali had him hold on long enough, and instead of just putting him away.
Going to the body a lot, you know, wailing on him, talking trash on him, beat him up, then walk away and taunt him type of thing. Man, that's when boxing was awesome.
All right, so you had this trade you wanted to get to, but we also had a lot of texts to catch up as well. Where do you want to go?
All right, so... Somebody on the text line said, I'm 28. My parents named me Wallace. Said, freaking Wallace. Never ran into a Wallace my age in my life. Wallace isn't that bad. You can go by Wally.
Wallace isn't that bad.
You know, you can go by Ace.
Why?
Because you could.
You could go by Ace.
It's true. I don't know. I don't feel like I fit the profile of a guy who calls himself Ace. I feel like I need to have like the all one length long hair and wear a black leather jacket and maybe put on some face paint.
Okay. I see you already responded to Lamont. The phones are working.
There's some kind of issue with the phones where the phones are down. It's not anything that we did. It's just a technical issue that they're working on. They're trying to get the phones back up. It's unfortunately we've got some technical issues. Please stand by. Lamont had said that there's a ton of celebrity that live here and don't announce they live here. And here's a guy who's saying, "Yeah, you know what? I'm moving to Texas." And he points out, you know, there's a lot of quote Hollywood types who will say, I'm moving to Canada, but he's like, I'm moving to Texas.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, like I said, I think it's cool that you see people who are saying, you know what, I'm moving to Texas. When I first moved down here in 2013, honestly, I thought I was going to work here for like a year or two and then move back up to the Northeast. I was here 4 minutes, saw a palm tree. Now, from New York, you only see palm trees in vacation destinations.
Okay.
I saw a palm tree.
That's what got you, the palm tree?
And
got
I
you?
Was just like, you have that epiphany of like,
this is the weirdest, what got sold me on Houston. So I've never outside, expected the palm tree.
I saw a palm tree. First thing I did.
New York is a weird man.
Back home, and I'm like,
hey, I seen a palm tree down here, guys. I'm here for good.
I'm like, honey, they have palm trees. And she's like, you better be coming home. Because she knew. It was 17 degrees when I left JFK in New York. Mm-hmm. We had 2.5 feet of snow. It was 50 mile an hour winds.
Nice.
I'm wearing hat, gloves, boots, scarf, big boots, jeans. All we land at IAH, middle of February, teeth of the winter, at 79 degrees.
Okay.
People are looking at me with my giant coat and hat and thinking, like, what drugs is this person on? Dude, I lived here 2 months and knew I was never moving back.
You know what got me? I came down here at 19. How old were you?
When I first moved down here, I was 39.
Okay. I came down here when I was 19.
So what sold me was probably a little bit different than you, because I was, man, what, 6 months out of high school, a year out of high school, whatever it was.
Some fine women in Texas.
In Florence, South Carolina, a dime acts like a nickel. In Houston, Texas, most, you know, I mean, a nickel acts like a dime. In Houston, Texas, I got here at least back in the 90s. Most dimes acted like a nickel because there was one on every single corner. And then at 19, you know, your bar, your place to pick up chicks is the mall. People would come from like 50 miles around to come to the mall in Florence, South Carolina, which was nothing, which was not a big thing. So you go there, you see the same chicks. You've probably smashed half their family. So it gets awkward around Thanksgiving and the holidays. So I get to Houston and, it, you know, my boy's telling me, like, all right, welcome to Houston. You want to go holler at some chicks? I'm like, of course. And he's like, all right, well, Houston malls are like Baskin Robbins. You go to whatever mall, depending on what flavor you want. So, like, the first day I'm here, I'm at Deerbrook Mall. Then I go to Woodlands Mall. Then Willowbrook. Then Sharpstown. And I'm just bouncing all these malls, and it's just completely different chicks and completely different bills and style. And I'm like, yes, I'm here for good. At that point, I knew I was committed to Houston. First chick I hollered at, I made, oh, the one mall, and I've only gone to this mall once in the, all right, I got here in 1998, it's 2020, so I've been here over 20 years. I've only gone to the Galleria twice, and we literally worked right next door to it, right? Because the first time I was so turned off, saw a beautiful chick in there with a diamond this big, and she looked like a Hispanic Holly Berry, perfect 10. And I'm like, good God, I've never seen a woman this fine in person. And I go to shoot my shot. My boy's like, don't do it. I'm like, why? This is a gallery. She's going to ask you how much money you make, what car you drive. Go up, shoot my shot. It's like, oh, where do you work at? What kind of car you drive? So here's actually par for the course. I start walking off. And this chick's like mid-20s. Dude, 40 years old, salt and pepper beard and hair. It's like, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Digits. And I'm like, all right, that's how the Galleria works. It's not for me. The bopper life isn't for me.
Well, did you see that Tony Busby got engaged?
Who is Tony Busby?
He ran for mayor. He's like
of
the
where?
Suit of Houston.
Oh, I don't pay attention
He's
to
the
that, so.
Super rich attorney.
Yeah.
He's the guy who bought the tank and put it in his front yard.
What's the tank?
A tank.
Like a real tank? Like not like a fish tank? Like
no,
a tank?
A tank.
All right, that's pretty cool then.
He got engaged. He bought his...
I would aim it at my neighbor's house.
He got his fiance. Tony is, I think, is like in his mid-50s.
An STD.
And she's 28.
And then he got
so
her an STD.
No, he got her a 10-carat diamond.
See.
Dude, mm-mm. That's a house.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't give that... Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Dude, I want to be
so rich.
How many
TVs that would buy? I've been married 16 years, and my wife still doesn't have a ring. Because every time I told her, I lied to her at first. I said, when we get married in 10 years, I know you're committed. I said, I've already been married once before, and I was only married 6 months. And I bought a ring. I said, I'm not doing that. Didn't do a wedding. Didn't do a ring. I said, you make it to 10 years, I'll get your ring.
That's the worst husband ever.
10-year anniversary came up. I'm like, dude, we can get you the ring, or, now hear me out, we could get a 70-inch on the wall that we can all use. We got the 70-inch.
The worst husband.
No, I told her, 20-year anniversary. Show me you can make it to 20 years. These hoes aren't loyal.
We're going to take you down to Zadok.
All right. It's the gem of the day.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
If you love supporting local Texas nonprofits and great coffee, then Cats Coffees are for you. Help give back to places like Enchanted Rock and Buffalo Bayou by going to catscoffee.com. Use the promo code ESPN20 for 20% off.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick Creighton, Jason Brad again for Fred and A.J. on the Blitz. And yes, for those of you who are watching the Astros right now, Josh James is in a jam. They're going to have to win a lot of slugfests because you're going to have a lot of inconsistent pitching. It's just when you've got a bunch of young guys, this is what you're going to have. You know, Josh James can miss bats. He can also miss strike zones. And, you know, we get into Josh James and how well is he going to pitch? Can he handle the control issues? Well, what did he do? Struck out a guy, walked a guy, gave up a hit, fielder's choice. You know, it's same story. He'll miss bats and he'll walk guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a jam right now, but he's got a pitcher's count, 0-2 count with two outs, runners on the corners. So hopefully he can get out of this because that's not what you want.
Yeah, and obviously you don't want to have, even if he gets out of it, you don't want to have too many innings like this because you don't want him racking up pitch counts. That's always been the knock on Brad Peacock, right? Five innings, 100 pitches. Because Brad Peacock will go 3-2 on every freaking batter. And Peacock will walk guys, he'll strike guys out. But he's 3-2 to everybody.
Right. At least nobody could start worse than Shohei Ohtani, right?
Oh, he had a rough day.
All right, so how much did he get? I remember the bidding war when he first came over because he's going to be the first two-way player in forever, a guy that can be a starting pitcher one day, then he's in the rotation hitting and playing the field the rest of the time. Well, he finally came back and made his start yesterday, first start in what, since 2018?
Yeah, because he didn't pitch at all last year.
Right.
Because of the Tommy John surgery. So he just hit.
And so in his return to the mound yesterday, he threw 15 balls, 15 strikes. He had recorded zero outs, gave up three walks, three singles, and four runs.
Inauspicious start. By the way, Shohei Ohtani.
Are you doing salary?
Yeah.
All right, let me guess. I remember it's in that $30 million ballpark. I'm going to say, no, $34 million? What?
He came over too young.
Oh, okay.
See, if he had waited two more years to come over, he could have got like a $200 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, this year, he is going to make the prorated $700,000.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of?
And he's going to be arbitration eligible
for
the next 3 years.
You had to pay their...
Right, the posting fee.
That was it.
They don't have that anymore.
Really? Yeah, the posting fee was like $30 million, right? See if you can find... Like, because, I'll pull it up.
Like Daisuke Matsuzaka, when he came over, the Red Sox had like a $59 million posting fee. Yeah, the posting system is gone.
When did that go away?
A couple years ago.
After Ohtani, like the year after Ohtani got, I think he got like $30 million.
Well, posting fees don't go to players.
I mean, not for
they
him.
They go to teams.
Yeah, the team. Oh, it's $20 million.
Yeah, and it's a flat fee now. So now it's $20 million flat. There's no more. The old posting system was teams. It turned in like secret bids. So everybody would turn in a closed bid, and then they'd just open it up and see whoever was the highest bid.
That's how they did it?
That's how they used to do it.
That's insane.
So you didn't know it's somebody else. You couldn't bid against somebody else. You just had to throw out whatever the most money you were going to pay was. And that's how you got guys when they got posted.
Yeah, here's an article from the USA Today when it was all going down. This is from December 1st, 2017. Major League Baseball owners voted unanimously Friday to approve a new posting agreement with their Japanese counterparts, a move that allowed bidding to start for coveted pitcher and outfielder Shohei Ohtani. And they talked about following the deal with Nippon. Is that it?
The Nippon Ham Fighters.
Oh, Nippon Ham Fighters? Wait, their team name is the Ham
Fighters. The Ham Fighters. Yes, the Nippon Ham Fighters.
Are they all skinny as hell? Like, we won't eat none of this damn ham. I'm going to stop.
So, now you've, things.
A $20 million posting fee. That was it. That's what it started at. Might have actually been more.
Yeah, they paid the Yankees paid $20 million for Masahiro Tanaka, and they signed him to a $155 million deal. So now the money that a player can sign for is limited. International free agents under 25 have to go through international bonus pool restrictions. So that's why if he had waited until he was 25, he could have signed a huge $200 million deal. Because he was under 25, he went into the international bonus pool money. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he basically got he didn't get a whole lot. He didn't get very little money. And, you know, his thing was, I don't care. You know, I want to be a major leaguer. I'll get my money when, you know, when I've earned it like everybody else. And I got to tell you, I would have waited because based on those rules, he wasn't allowed to get more than a $4 million bonus.
All right. Mark asked, and Sean Blair, I missed it when Josh James got out of it, but Sean Blair on the Twitch says, Astros got lucky there. Great job. Yeah, I think I think that's the reaction a lot of Astro fans will have and should have. If these pitchers, especially these young, unproven guys, get in the jams and get out of it, I don't even think you're looking for the prettiest pitching performances. Just keep it. As close as you can, and again, keep your bats in it. George Springer now stepping up. He started this year cold, 1-for-11 with that one hit being a home run. Mark asked, because of COVID, would y'all put an asterisk on the winner of the World Series? My answer is quick, no. I believe people try to make up asterisks for every single thing, especially in the city of Houston. The 20-plus years I've been here, I've grown a hate for asterisk talk. If you're going to let all these players play baseball on steroids, you know, and hit 66, 70, 73 homers, I think they should be in the Hall of Fame, and I think the record should be respected. Major League Baseball allowed that. The players did whatever they could at that time, and baseball knew what was going on and running rampant. The Rockets, they should have an asterisk in, you know, 94, 95 championships because Jordan retired for 18 months and came back, so you didn't beat the best of the. There's always something with it, and then they wanted to put one on the 2017 Astros for sign stealing. All right, you're going to put one on every Major League Baseball team that ever stole signs because that's going to be every single Major League Baseball team.
Look, there's no asterisk for teams that win in strike-shortened seasons. There's no asterisk
Never has been.
On Washington for 1987 when they played the first four or five games with replacement players. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's only one asterisk that's ever mattered, and that was Roger Maris 61. And the only reason there is an asterisk.
162 games over 154.
It was because the commissioner of baseball at the time was Ford Frick. Mm-hmm. And Ford Frick was also Babe Ruth's ghostwriter.
Was he?
He was.
Wow.
And he wanted to protect Ruth's legacy and therefore tried to create a situation where there were separate records. One for Ruth, who had 60 homers in a 154-game schedule, and one for Maris, who had 61 in 162 games. If you look through the annals of sports history, all right, there is no, in the NFL, there is no separate rushing record for, well, we played 14, we played 16. Like, there's no separate set of rules. There's one set of rules, there's one set of records. Either you have the record, you don't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how many games you play. Same thing with baseball. In fact, it's the only time baseball ever differentiated between the 154 and 162, and it was because Babe Ruth's ghostwriter wanted to protect his legacy and wanted to basically take away from Maris's achievement.
Quick question on Twitch. Who's worse, Major League Baseball umps or NBA refs?
Oh, MLB umps. Not even close.
See, I think that's some bias. I just watched Ed Malloy, though, call the Rockets last night, and that's about one of the worst things you can do is watch Ed Malloy ref Rockets game. I think he called, it was north of 55 fouls, if I'm not mistaken, in last. And I know it's a scrimmage game, people out of practice, all that. 55 fouls. I mean, Covington fouled out, Tucker fouled out, somebody on Memphis fouled out. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. So I'm going to say NBA refs because I think, especially when we're talking about calling the strike zone, I think that's one of the hardest calls in all of sports from the angle you're at, the curves, the movement, the speed. I just have so much respect for what they do.
It's the Blitz.
Yeah, she left in the morning, gone without warning.
More talk,
less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, Patrick and Jason in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. And we were trying to get this to this before, and we keep getting sidetracked. And that is, the Jets and the Seahawks made a huge trade over the weekend. And believe it or not, right away, the first thing we're seeing is people using this trade to exonerate Bill O'Brien. I thought this was the dumbest thing ever.
Exonerate in what sense? And so just rehash what the trade was in case anybody missed it this weekend.
So the Jets traded all-pro safety Jamal Adams, who still has 2 years of team control on his team.
A fifth-year option in this year, yeah, but they're going to give him that
but
deal.
This year he's making nothing.
Right.
And he's got his fifth-year option, which he can't get out of. And they trade him to Seattle, and they picked up a pair of first-round picks.
And a third.
The actual trade is Jamal Adams and a fourth in 2022 for Bradley McDougald, a 2021 first, a 2022 first, and a 2021 third.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a terrific deal for the Jets. They get two firsts and a third, and that's what they need. I also think it's a good deal for Seattle. Yeah, they gave up a ton, but they're getting a guy who was statistically proven to be a massive difference maker when he's on the field, as the Jets splits with him on and off the field are staggering. And look, they need defensive help, as Josh James just drilled Aaron Nola in the ribs. People thought that the Astros had to worry about getting hit. Well, Aaron Nola just took that one to the ribs. That is going to leave a mark. I thought this was a really good deal for the Jets. It's a good deal for Seattle. It's a really good deal for the Jets. And people then decided, well, you know, Bill O'Brien gave up two firsts and a second to get Laremy Tunsil, see? So he made a good deal. It's like, all right, number one, they didn't secure him. And Seattle didn't secure Adams either, but they got him to agree to play for his standing salaries the next 2 years. Also, how does that justify trading Jadeveon Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins for a plate of refried beans?
Nah, they're trying to take it one at a time. But here's the thing. They said it exonerates Bill O'Brien for the trade for Laremy Tunsil. Here's the thing. I never had an issue with the Laremy Tunsil trade. I mean, you remember.
They gave up a lot to get him.
I didn't have an issue.
We understood why. They had to protect Deshaun. They couldn't let Deshaun get sacked another 60-some-odd times.
Yeah, so my thing was I never had a problem with it because Laremy Tunsil's the highest graded offensive lineman I've ever graded coming out. The highest graded offensive tackle. And I haven't been doing it for 30, 40 years. I'm not Gil Brandt doing it for 60 years. I've been doing it for over a decade.
Well, just means you didn't decide that, you know, Lamar Jackson had to be moved to wide receiver.
Nice. So my thing is I've been doing it for over a decade. In that decade, there's never been an offensive tackle that I graded higher than Laremy Tunsil. Everything was just so effortlessly to him that you can tell, like, all you've got to do is polish off the rough edges, get the technique, and keep the confidence, and then I think you get one of the top tackles in the game. So it made sense. But even on that side, though, Laremy Tunsil, because of the way O'Brien did it, got $4 million more per year than anybody else in the world to do the same job. Now, is Laremy Tunsil worth it? Yeah, he probably is worth it. That being said, though, I don't think you're resetting the market $4 million over your position during a pandemic, unless it's a quarterback position, which we saw with Pat Mahomes. You don't see it, even though that left tackle position is truly more important than that safety position. So the Tunsil trade, never had an issue with it. Probably should have got the deal done, the extension at that time, so you're not paying $22 million. I guarantee you they wouldn't have paid $22 million a year if they got the extension done at the time of the trade with Tunsil. You probably cost yourself at least $3 million more a year, easily, APY. But then, even if you mention that and it exonerates him or whatever verbiage you want to use, to Creighton's point, you have to bring in the Clowney trade. Well, if that exonerates him on the Tunsil trade, because all you were knocking, like, well, the Texans couldn't get anything more for Jadeveon Clowney because he was in a contract. Yeah, he was going to need a new contract. You don't think Jamal Adams, the best safety in the game, is not about to reset the market at the safety position? Yet, the Seahawks gave up. The same team. You can go apples to apples with this. The same team you traded Jadeveon Clowney for, who needs a new contract. The knock was, well, the Texans didn't get much because they knew Clowney needed a new contract. The same team that gave you a third-round pick, Barkevious Mingo and Jacob Martin, for a more important position, that defensive end position for Jadeveon Clowney, turned around for a safety they're going to have to pay top-of-the-market money, a first, a third, and a player for a fourth in Jamal Adams. That's your apples to apples. That doesn't exonerate Bill O'Brien. That obliterates a Bill O'Brien.
No, and let's be real. Why did they get nothing for Clowney? Because A, O'Brien sucks at trading. B, they waited. Now, remember, this was not JD going into year four. This was JD going into year six. He was on the tag. So he'd already played his contract. He'd already played his fifth-year option. You know, Jamal Adams is going into his fourth year. He's still on a rookie contract that has value. They waited to trade JD until, a week before the season, instead of trading him prior to the July 15th extension deadline. If they had traded him prior to that, where they could have let whoever was acquiring him negotiate with Clowney to get an extension, they could have gotten more. But they didn't, because they didn't think that far in advance. And that's the difference between having an actual GM who has a plan and having the teapot who, I'm pissed off today, this is what I'm doing, it's done, that's it.
Let me ask you something. All right, and let's take away the Tunsil trade, let's take away the Adams trade. And let me ask you this. This is Bill O'Brien. If Bill O'Brien's not the head coach and GM, he could still be the head coach and there's another GM. He could be the GM and there's another head coach. If Bill O'Brien's not the head coach and GM in the current situation we've seen, I would almost guarantee that DeAndre Hopkins, your former first-round pick, and Jadeveon Clowney, your former number one overall first-round pick, would both still be Texans. These relationships and negotiations deteriorated because Bill O'Brien, teapot, can't control his emotions at the negotiation table. If anyone else is that GM or somebody standing between O'Brien's decisions when he's emotional, just like when he wanted to cut Ryan Mallett when he overslept for a road game.
They're going to go to Miami with one quarterback.
They're going to go there with one quarterback. Well, we got so-and-so who can play emergency quarterback. And people try to make it sound like, well, that's what you should do. That's a good decision. He oversleeps. Punish him. No, let him go be your backup and hopefully win you the game if you have to use them, and then bring in another quarterback on tryout Tuesday that makes more common sense. But you're not going into a game without a quarterback with one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. But that's who he is. He reacts off of emotions and not his intelligence. He's an intelligent man, but he's also an emotional guy, and that's why the guy y'all call future Hall of Famer, greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, and all those guys picked on him and called him teapot because he can't control his emotions. And now he's the only official head coach and GM in all of the NFL. A guy who can't control his emotions. It's just complete nonsense. But Jadeveon Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins would be on the Texans if it wasn't for one person, Bill O'Brien. Now, let me ask you this, with that being stated, if you could take DeAndre Hopkins and Jadeveon Clowney, put them back on this Texans team for 2020. That means take out David Johnson, take out Jacob Martin.
Bye.
And I think that's about all you got for it. Which is a better team?
Oh, the team with JD and DeHop.
Take out Brandon Cooks, too, if you want him back. You know?
You're forgetting Barkevious Mingo.
He's gone. He's not even on the team anymore.
Yeah, but you got him. He was part of the Clowney trade.
All right, we'll give him back, too.
Six plays that he had, where he had six snaps and a little bit of special teams. Sayonara.
So you mean the Texans got a pass rush specialist, a special teamer, and a third-round pick for Jadeveon Clowney, their number one overall pick? You know how bad you have to suck and how everything has to go perfectly right to get the best player in the draft, the number one pick in the draft. The Texans have only had it three times, and Both times, well, two of the three times, they took a defensive end who played college ball in the Carolinas over a quarterback. And the one time they took the
quarterback, they let him get murdered. Yeah,
the one time they took the quarterback, they probably should have went with the DN from a Carolina college. And let me go back revisionary history. Took Jadeveon Clowney instead of quarterback, played college football at South Carolina. Took Mario Williams instead of a quarterback, played college football at North Carolina State. Took David Carr over the defensive in Julius Peppers, played college ball at North Carolina. So it's odd how it all goes back. The Texans, the three times they had the number one pick, there was a top pass rusher. The top pass rusher in the country was from some college in the Carolinas. And the one time they should have took the pass rusher was Julius Peppers over David Carr. And then the other two times, I don't know, I guess Mario had a better career than any quarterback in that draft. VY didn't work out. Would have been interesting to see what VY would have been in Kubiak's offense and with a coach that didn't hate him like Jeff Fisher, or wasn't the worst coach in the planet like Jeff Fisher. But Matt Leiner didn't work out. Jay Cutler was a head case. So it's curious. And then obviously you took Jadeveon Clowney over all the quarterbacks in that draft. That the top drafted one was Blake Bortles. Then Manziel was later in Bridgewater and Garoppolo and Savage. And so out of that draft, I guess you take who? Garoppolo? You're not taking Derek Carr. Maybe Bridgewater.
Derek Carr was a really good quarterback till he busted his leg.
No.
And Garoppolo right now is probably the best of all of them. You go back to that 2006 draft, Vince Young, quarterbacks. Vince Young, Matt Leiner.
Jay Cutler.
I mean, Kellen Clemens.
Oh, I forgot about Kellen Clemens.
The Tavares Jackson.
Ooh.
This is a bad quarterback draft. Charlie Whitehurst, check down Jesus. Brody Croyle. Brad Smith, who wasn't even really a quarterback. This was definitely the draft to take the defensive end guy, because the quarterbacks in this draft were poo.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Gets you in on the phone line and the text line for the last segment of the day. If you want to get in, it is Ask Us Anything segment of the day.
Let me ask you this one, all right, real quick here before we go to break. Over Mario Williams, would you have preferred Reggie Bush, DeBrickashaw Ferguson, A.J. Hawk, or Vernon Davis?
Wow, horrible, horrible draft. Vernon Davis?
I think, you know, Mario Williams, well, Vernon Davis. Those were the two guys.
DeBrickashaw Ferguson had a good career at left tackle, but I don't think he lived up to Mario Williams or Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis, though, was just such a freak, man. I mean, what, 4.35 40 at that size of a tight end?
Wasn't too bad.
Can't win with him. Don't want him. What did Mike Singletary say about Vernon Davis? Send him to the locker room crying? Can't win with him.
The Dumbass Report is next.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, final segment on The Blitz. Patrick and Jason in for Fred and A.J. And it would be time for the Dumbass Report.
What you got?
So our first dumbass comes to us courtesy of the NBA, and I'm sure you know by now. Lou Williams of the Clippers. 10-day quarantine. He's going to miss the first two games of the season when it restarts. Because while he was on approved leave to deal with a family issue, he needed to stop at the Magic City Strip Club in Atlanta. Now, you play in a bubble. You've been given the okay to leave the bubble just to go deal with a family issue. And you had to hit the strip club.
It's so crazy.
Dumbass.
It's everything that Damian Lillard said was going to happen. I mean, he said, I don't trust players to not violate the bubble code and not step out of it. I don't trust them not to try to Instagram in females. And everything he said, you had Rashard Holmes and Bruno Caboclo, all of them had on record had broken the barrier, as to speak, for the bubble there in Orlando. Then you've got the Instagram girl reported that before they even all got to the bubble, she's already getting invites there. And then you got this, Lou Williams, oh, I got to go take care of this business. On the way back, let's stop by the Bucket Naked.
So, Williams, such a dumbass. He's at the club with a rapper named Jack Harlow, who takes a picture of him and Lou Will and puts it on the gram.
I did not know that.
Of course, he had to go back and delete it.
Guys.
And pretend. Oh, no, that was an old picture. I just threw that up there, you know, because. Right. Williams' excuse? Well, I like their wings.
I don't think that's the body part he liked there. But, I mean, our girl Foxy, professional comedian, she had this one joke that used to crack me up all the time. She's like, have you, like, stripper glitter, whatever you need to kind of, to, like, protect yourself or whatever, get some stripper glitter because it never comes off anything. Yeah, you know, I mean, stripper glitter is for life. So I just picture him eating chicken wings with a booty clapping in his face and stripper glitter just falling all over the chicken wings. I mean, I'm not eating at a strip club. I know some people swear by it, but I'm not eating at a strip club.
Well,
take that any way you want.
Another somewhat famous person went on Twitter and said, believe it or not, the chicken wings at Magic City are the best I've ever had.
I actually saw who this was, so I'm not going to walk
all
over
it. And that was Johnny Manziel.
If Johnny Manziel is the guy that has your back in any situation in life, that's not the company you want to keep.
Is he not a strip club expert?
Absolutely. I mean, he snuck out of, what was it, training camp or rookie camp to go to Vegas, and he had the blonde wig. Do people forget that? They were calling him Johnny Vegas or Billy. No, he said his name was Billy, right? So they're calling him like Billy Vegas?
Billy Vegas.
It was something like that. I just remember him sneaking out and going to Vegas. Like, that dude really did not give a damn about being good at professional football.
Now, that's the funny part of the dumbass report. Now we get into the super dumbass part of the dumbass report. A North Carolina man who won $10 million in the lottery in 2017 arrested for murder in the death of a 23-year-old woman found in a hotel room. 52-year-old Michael Todd Hill of Leland, North Carolina.
Of course.
Apparently arrested for murder. It certainly looks like, you know, he's 52, she's 23. This was a prostitution call gone wrong. This guy, this woman.
I don't think it's a prostitution call. In the article, I think she, like, works at, like.
Well, she was a correctional officer in a prison.
Yeah.
And also worked with mentally disabled people at a rehab center. But you have $10 million, and you can do anything you want. Let me throw my life away, and hence all my money.
That's what I don't get.
By killing someone.
You get a scratch-off ticket and win. I mean, 2017, flashback 3 years ago, greatest day of his life. I'm going to just buy this little scratch-off ticket, scratch it off. $10 million. Life can't go wrong from there unless you murder someone. I mean, like, what are you thinking?
I got 10 million reasons to enjoy my life. Yes. Let me screw it up.
I mean, with $10 million, man, you can buy a female, right?
Buy a few.
For $10 million, just go to Instagram. They sell themselves on there all the time.
You know what? You could rent Lou Williams for a day, and he'll bring 30.
And with chicken wings.
Your wings.
And stripper glitter.
From the stripper club.
We're back tomorrow and Wednesday with AJ and Fred returning to the Blitz Thursday and Friday this week, and us going back to late hits 7 to 9 this Thursday and Friday.
Thanks, Aaron Raybould, on the other side of the glass. He's Jason Braddock. I'm Patrick Creighton. As Jay said, we're back tomorrow and Wednesday in for the Blitz. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay safe out there.
ESPN 97.5.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working?